Our next speaker is a local. He's an architect. He's very passionate about town and urban renewal. And he has come up with a model for urban renewal based on the lovely city of Venice in Italy. And he thinks this model will be the way to regenerate our modern cities. Will you give a big draw to welcome, please, to Emmett Humphreys.
This picture is a photograph of a city that couldn't adapt. It's Angkor Wat in Cambodia. The lead researcher, Brendan Burke, said about the city that due to environmental, economic, and political changes and a couple of environmental events, the city was pushed to the edge and it wasn't able to adapt. Now, political, social, economic changes happen all the time. You can add in technological changes as well. But we adapt. In our own town, Andrada, it was laid out 1,000 years ago in medieval. The buildings are 100 or 200 years old, but we've had layers and layers of adaption and change, so we've been able to adapt. So the key about why Angkor failed, I think, was why the inhabitants weren't able to change. Now, we've just gone through a huge recession in Ireland and across the world, and this is a reflection on the change that we're going through at the moment. There's for sale signs, to let signs, there's vacancy, there's closure. Above the shops, there's very little going on. We go into the back, we did a study on this, and we saw that on the single floor, there was orange, there was some use, and above there was empty. Some buildings were performing well, they were completely used, but it was about 72% vacancy within the middle of the town. The economist Hernando de Santo talks about dead capital. Dead capital is this idea that a building or an asset can't be bought, sold, used, or valued easily. This building here is an old industrial building in the middle of the town. Due to new building regulations, fire regulations, investment, it's dead capital, it's not being used. It doesn't seem to have a new life. So we went and started to look at other ideas and other architectural thoughts about how this one might work. This is Frank Lloyd Wright, Chicago Broad Acre. So let's build a new town completely. Forget about the old one that doesn't work. So we have the town with the shops, the retail, the living, the environmental, the transport, all worked out because it's too hard to work with the old one. This is 1910, so this city, this model could be already out of date. We've already changed the way we live. Chandigarh with Le Corbusier in India, he made a big city, brand new city. But he made it so big that the change could happen within the blocks. So this city was a city for the next 100, 200 years. So there was a built-in idea of change and adaptability. So we took a block, brand new block like we have in Drogheda, the same size. We put two new streets, two secondary streets, a 10-meter block, and we made it 4 stories high. We put some new permeability into the middle. We built it in from the start. We put some nice green spaces in, and we got 110% use. So the use that we were not able to achieve with the existing block, we got it with a new block. The question is, what do we do with the old town? Now, go back to Le Corbusier in Paris. He said, just knock it down. If it's not fit for purpose, get rid of it. So this is the Louvre, the Seine, and there's a nice motorway going through the middle. Now, Richard Rogers, he wrote a book, Small Cities for Sustainable Cities for a Small Planet. He had the idea of why don't we just blend it all in together? Why don't we just fuse the two ideas together? So we can walk to work, we can get the bicycle to work. So we took Drogheda again as an example, but this example can be used all across the world. We have the same problems across the world. The two blocks which are existing, which might be in use or might not be in use, and there's a large section between which is not in use. So we put two new blocks into that and a new street down the middle. We got retail, we got some office spaces, we got spaces to live, residential, social, affordable, private. We got some nice green spaces, parks, walkways, laneways. So when you put them all together, we get exactly the same type of use as we had before, but we're reusing the city, we're reusing the town. Now, this is a lovely model. This is what it could look like in our town, Adrada. The orange being the old buildings, the blue being the new buildings, the green being the bits between. We use those old alleyways, those old laneways. We reopen them and we connect them. And we get our 110% use. The only problem with this idea is that this guy wants to develop. This guy wants to develop as well, but they can't connect. So there's no way. The space at the back is still dead capital. We can't open up that space. This guy wants to develop, but he wants to develop on a totally different line, totally different idea. The guys in between, they don't want to change. They're quite happy the way things are. So now we enter into this quagmire of planning and upset, where nobody wants to know how to manage change. We don't adapt. To counteract this, we zone all the land around the city. This is called the donut effect, where you start developing the outside and the inside starts to die. There's three problems with this. The first problem is that this is good, rich agricultural land. We shouldn't be destroying this land. We need it for people to eat and for the rest. The second point is that if this is a pattern of development, then we just keep expanding the town and expanding, and the center becomes emptier and emptier. And the third problem with this is that we have to move between these points. So we have to get a car because the distances are farther away. The other thing is that it's hard to police such a large area. It's hard for future generations to have services, to maintain roads, to maintain sewage, to maintain light. We're putting a very expensive template for future generations to look after. So this effect, this donut effect, is happening everywhere. It's happening all over the world. So we tried to find a city that didn't have the donut effect. And Venice is that city. Venice has a natural limit of growth. It's impossible for the Phoenicians to grow. They didn't have the economy or the technological expertise to actually go into the water. So they took the mudflats and they just built on them. And they were forced then to work out these problems between it. Coincidentally, Drogheda and Venice are pretty much the same size, but there's about 300,000 people living in Venice. So we took one block in Venice, and we just studied that. And there's three lessons from Venice that we can learn about, and that might be adaptable to our situation. The first situation in Venice is that all the public spaces were inside the middle of the block. Now, there's a very normal reason for this. The Phoenicians used the outside, the main structure of Venice was canals. And that's the way that they moved and connected to the city. But you can't have public space on canals because you can't walk on water. So all the public space had to be within inside the middle of the block. So you got these beautiful courtyards connection. So it's fully accessible. Now, if we contrast that with Drogheda, you'll see that Drogheda's only got 2.5% public space. We don't use the middle of the block. So if we were to take the Phoenician idea of using the middle of the block, we could get accessibility to the rest of the block. The other thing about the Phoenicians was when they set up, each island, each block was an island. And the only way that they got to each other was through the boats. So they were a very insular nation, even within their own pockets. But one day, one of the Phoenicians said to the other island, look, instead of getting boats across to each other, why don't we just build a bridge? So one guy built a bridge, and then these guys became connected. Then the next guy said, this is a great idea. Why don't we build a bridge? And they became connected. This went on and on until before, if you weren't connected, you were unconnected. So they had made a new layer. They had adapted a new structure. They had the waterways, and then they put on a pedestrian route on top of that. They adapted to what their needs were. But the other thing was is that the guys who had connected and had put out these bridges, they became a bridge themselves. They had to allow people to move through their island. They were islanders, now they no longer were. They were part of a larger group. So they gave up some of those rights, some of those individual rights that they had at the beginning. The other thing about the Phoenicians was that there was creativity. You see that the roads wouldn't have lined up because they were built on different islands. So they had to go and become creative about how to build a bridge. So this bridge would go over there. They built boats that were able to be manned by one man. They built wells to collect water. They were very, very inventive people. So in conclusion, the Phoenicians were described as seagulls. Their homes were made of mud and wattle, and they spent their lives on the sea. They had a different perspective than the rest of us would have from being on the land. They were creative, they were inventive, but most of all about the Phoenicians was that they were adaptable. They took mud flats in a laguna that had no value, and they turned it into one of the most beautiful cities in the world. The Chimers had one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and they turned it into a jungle. We have the ability in Drogheda and around the world to change the donut effect and use the debt capital that we have if we think like Phoenicians. Thank you.